you know about God, you see, what differentiates you from another Christian is the level of light and revelation of God you know and you have. It's the reality of God's revelation you've been able to walk with. Do you follow? What differentiates believers is actually the revelation of God's word they've been able to walk with. It's beyond confession, precious saints. It's beyond confession. It's a life and a confession that comes from your spirit man. What has rested in your spirit and has bear roots. Hallelujah. So it's beyond that. Is that when you speak for the words of Christ go with life. Your heart follows the word. Do you follow? Because, hallelujah, I recall some years ago when I was reading Billy Bright's book, he shared about a very old clergyman that was in a function. He was in a function and they invited a movie star. And the movie star opened to Psalms 23. And you know what? He read Psalms 23 with his musical, sweet voice. And you know what? When he read Psalms 23, when he finished, everybody began to clap for him. Because his voice was so, he had been trained to speak very well and his words were very eloquent. And the old clergy was invited to the front and he came to the front. And he recited Psalms 23. And when he finished reciting Psalms 23, there was such a silence. And the movie star stood up and said, he said, he just read it with his lips. But he said, the clergy read that word with his heart. Tonight, I really trust the Lord and I ask God to help us tonight. Because what we're going to be sharing tonight is actually the bedrock and the basis of many of the truths that many believers should have been running with. This is the simple reason why many have not been able to access many things in God. I tell you. Not because they do not know, but because they do not believe and they've not learned to walk in faith in that reality. So they know it. It's beyond knowledge. Is that it has become part and parcel of their lives. Until that word, that dimension of God, bears root within. I'm telling you, it's beyond that because Jesus looked and he was giving a parable and you know what he said? He spoke about the seeds that fell upon the rock. He said they sprang up real fast. And when he was describing that, he said, those are those that receive the word. And with joy, they jubilate and they're excited. But he spoke about another set of people that the word fell on good soil. And it bore roots and it bore many fruits. Some, he said, is 60-fold and 100-fold. Tonight, I truly pray that the words of Christ will be formed in our hearts. Can you just go ahead and pray and ask the Lord, like, Lord, tonight you touch me with your word.
We sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, we sing praises to your name.
You can have your seat.
Oh Lord, we sing praises to your name.
God revealed the truth to me many years ago and I tell you the truth, it has transformed my life. It has helped my walk with God. Tonight, when we finish tonight, there are many of you that really have been trusting God to really step into a relationship with Him. Real close relationship. You love the Lord, but every time you come to church, as you lift up holy hands, it's like suddenly you feel dear Lord, I'm not worthy. Even when they ask you to lift up your hands and give God praise, lift up your hands and worship God. As you lift up your hands, people may not know, your neighbors may not know, but suddenly, an event, a past event of many years, just comes back to you, and you begin to feel unworthy. I trust God that after tonight, you will have such freedom to access God. I tell you, you have such liberty to access God, and you lift up your hands without fear, without shame, without the consciousness of sin or guilt, and you tell God, God be praised. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We'll continue our study. Apostle had been doing a study, and we've been considering the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. The book of Ephesians. And last time we were able to just begin an introduction, and right here we were talking about what happened in the Garden of Eden and how man had lost his righteousness and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And this is the intention of God, that God was going to restore unto man what he'd lost so that man can have access. And we explained what righteousness was. We said righteousness is the ability to come to the Father's presence without a sense of guilt, sin, or inferiority complex. Hallelujah. So you are able to stand before God. And bear it in mind to be able to also stand before Satan. Hallelujah. So we spoke of how the book of Ephesians is divided into like three. We considered, we started up with chapter 1 last week. And the book of Ephesians actually reveals, and I hope you know, the Ephesian church was one of the most mature church. Hallelujah. The Corinthian church were so, they had grown in the gifts of the Spirit, so powerful and all. But you notice the letter to the Ephesians church, when you read Ephesians, it really reveals the walking of Christ through his body, the church. Do you understand? So the first chapter, from chapter 1 to 3, really gets to talk about our position. That is what Jesus had done for us. Hallelujah. And that it was on that basis that we started last time when we were talking about it. That was Apostle began to speak about that. Then chapter 4 to chapter 6 now. Some few chapters, just verse 1 of chapter 6 to verse 9, talks about, it gets to talk about our walk. That is how we reveal Christ. Do you understand? And tonight we'll be considering some parts of it. The last aspect of Ephesians is actually, the last aspect of Ephesians is chapter 6. Praise God. That's from 10 down to the end. It talks about how, talks more of how the believer is supposed to express himself and stand now against the enemy. Do you understand? So three sections. Hallelujah. And last week we started a bit on the doctrinal part of it. That is our seated position, what Jesus had done already for us. Praise the Lord. And I want you to know that it represents the church in Nigeria. As a matter of fact, some of us, let me tell you, the three faces of the Christian faith we're talking about here, virtually everyone here, somehow, there are some churches that have caught the light of chapter 1 to 3. The only thing they know is they know Jesus had died. They know all what Jesus has done. That means we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the benefits of all what Jesus has done, our seated position. It reveals just all what Jesus has done. Not about us, all what we've done. All what he's done. Hallelujah. For our sake. And why some other believers are trying to walk out now their salvation, walk out righteousness. Then it talks of the walking dimension of the Christian faith, where you live the life of a Christian. It means the chapter 1 to 3 talks of the legal works of Christ. That is what has been established as far as God is concerned. In the way the Father has seen it, it is finished. God has done it. Now, the aspect that connotes and pulls me and you into the bargain so much more and requires our own action is chapter 3, do you understand, to chapter 6. Hallelujah. Where, and this is where some churches, I told you, some have understood, they've caught the revelation of their seated position with Christ. They are seated with Jesus. They understand that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They understand that prosperity and the blessings of salvation is theirs. While some others are still trying to be holy. They They are trying to be righteous. So they've not understood this first dimension. And you know what? They are forcing themselves. So they try to be holy. We tried that many years ago. We'll walk and say, today, especially when it's first of every year, we'll make up our mind and we'll say, we'll not sin. And we'll move very holy. And before you know it, I'm telling you, in less than 2 minutes, you forget. Then you remember, say, God forgive me, and you go back to it. And sometimes some of you have stepped into churches and tonight God will bring healing. Hallelujah. Some of us have stepped into some churches and they've made it so difficult for you. And some have preached, oh, you ladies. You know, most times the ladies that suffer. Hallelujah. Say, you ladies will go to hell. Let me not talk on some doctrinal issues. Hallelujah. But you ladies will go to hell. Ladies are this, ladies are everything, ladies shall. And I wonder if the ladies are going to hell, where will the men go to? Heaven. Okay. Hallelujah. But the idea of what we're saying is, so there they make you try to live very holy. You know, it's very interesting doing, what's his name? John Calvin. He was one of the reformers, one of the church reformers. It was very interesting. We're enjoying so much in Christ now. I'm telling you the truth. You know how it was then? They were so religious and church became a religious ritual. So much that if they were passing offering, they had kind of baton. It was a bit soft anyway. But you know what? If you are sleeping in church and you see MD, they'll hit you. I'm serious. Oh, you didn't know? Boy. These ushers are gentle. See them smiling. Very glorious. Hallelujah. But the ushers had such baton, and you know the truth. They would walk around and when they see people sleeping, they will hit them. They'll wake you up with that. They'll wipe you. It will not pain you too much, but it will pain you. Praise God. It will pain you and you wake up. Do you understand? And their offering baskets where it had a long stick. So much that as they are passing and as they come close to Pastor Femi, they look at you. If he's not giving the offering, they'll put you close to him again. Okay, see this thing. Praise God. But please put your hands together for the Lord. You know why? Precious saints, Bishop Stan said something earlier. Listen to me. One of the most profound things about the Christian faith, about Christianity, is beyond the religion. Do you know what? It's the freedom and liberty. And this is one of the things Jesus came to do for us. I'm telling you, the freedom and liberty. That, you know what, you can sit here and enjoy what God is doing freely. I tell you, it's not really so in other places. I asked a guy one time. He was trying to talk to me and preach to me. I won't tell you where, but you understand what I'm saying. The Lord give you understanding. And he looked at me and said, he realizes that I am trying to find the truth. He said, let him show me. Honestly speaking, he believes I should change my faith. I said, okay, interesting. Then you know what? I asked him a question. I said, sorry, you mean your God is so holy that he can't follow you to the toilet? Do you follow what I'm saying? So holy you need to be. But I thank God for God. You may be dirty. You may have woken up in the morning without washing your mouth, without having a bath. But guess what? The Spirit of Christ lives in you. Precious saints, we are in such a blessed relationship, I'm telling you, with Jesus. And it's beyond the rituals. Hallelujah. That's second category of a lot of people. And sometimes, some of us may belong to churches that fall into this category. But what we do here tonight is, and what we do in Koinonia is to bring us up to a level of maturity in Christ. Do you understand what we're saying? The third category are those that are trying to fight Satan. So, they say, Satan, I give you one blow, you give me another one. Pwah! And he gives back a punch. Do you understand what we're saying? So, they are trying to enforce their authority. They are trying to stand against Satan. But the problem is they've not first understood the first revelation of what Jesus has made them be. Their oneness with Christ. They've not caught that revelation. So, every time they move, they are looking for devils. And I was like that one time. The Lord delivered me. I was like that. I'm telling you. And you know what? Funny enough, I walk. And as I walk past, you know what I hear? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I began to walk and I would hear birds crying. I was so conscious of demons. I was so alive in the realm of demons. I was so conscious that if I move, if I just get here, you know, some of us, as you walk in, maybe a bat just mistakenly lost his way outside and just entered here by mistake. Jesus, Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Do you understand? And one small bird will climb your roof. My God. Vigil all through the night. Are you following what we're saying? Please, as you are laughing, please, I hope you're understanding what we're saying. That precious saint, we're saying that three categories of Christians. And you know what? Our churches, when you get to distribute them, you'll find out that somehow a lot of the bulk of churches fall amongst this. But God is trusting to bring a breed of believers that have grown to a point where there's balance. Do you understand what we're saying? Where as they see Pastor Sam, they look at him and they're not able to understand this guy. You can't say he's a Baptist. You can't say he's an Equa. Are you following what we're saying? You will see a man that has grown matured in Jesus. This is what God attempts to do, precious saints. This is the very desire of God. And this is why in Ephesians, he spoke about for the perfecting of the saints. He spoke about us coming to a maturity. This is what God wants to do. That you will go and you will bring sanity. Even if it's your local church, you will bring some level of sanity. You can hardly say what church Chris is from. Steve. You know why? This guy is sound in the word. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. But that God will bring us into soundness. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read some scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's see where God will help us stop tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know the profound thing about righteousness? When you enter into the realm of righteousness, into the revelation of righteousness, grace begins to operate. The grace of God begins to operate in your life. I'm telling you, when you understand the righteousness of God is so powerful. I know some have abused it, but precious saints, this is one of the things God attempts to give us. From Ephesians, when you study, I want you, when you go back, get to study the whole book of Ephesians. Very powerful. Hallelujah. But you see that God birthed this righteousness. It's a gift. I hope you understand. It's a gift from God. Now let's just quickly see a scripture. Ephesians. Are we all in Ephesians? Steve, what chapter? What book is it? What page on your Bible? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Jesus. All right. Let me start from, I'll just continue from verse 3 now. 1-3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Romans 8:17. Someone just quickly help us open to Romans 8:17. I want to try by His Spirit to pieces what righteousness is. Briefly. Then we'll. Romans 8:17. All right. God bless you. Father, we thank you. Now, let me tell you the truth. Last time when Apostle was expounding here, very powerful, he began to show us something very profound about what righteousness is. The first thing you must understand, that righteousness is a gift. Do you understand? And let me tell you the truth. I said something. I said, a lot of Christians have had a problem accessing God. You know the simple reason. Every time they stand before God, there's this sense of guilt or inferiority complex. Many. And some of you are seated here. You've not been able to enjoy the benefits of your seated position with Christ. And because you've not been able to enjoy that, you've been trying to be righteous. So you know what? Even when you do something wrong, you quickly now go on a 7 days fast. You fast for 7 days, begging God, God, by this fasting, please change things. Let me tell you the truth. The Bible says all our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Righteousness is a gift. No man can get it in his strength. Do you understand? Stop trying. Stop trying. You know what? Faith is not trying. Faith is just receiving. When you read Hebrews, it spoke of how the Egyptians were trying. They were trying to cross it was speaking, it was the Chronicles of Faith in 11, chapter 11. It was Chronicles. It was speaking of how the Egyptians were trying to. They were trying to, but guess what? While the Israelites just passed, those guys were trying. You don't try. You don't try to be righteous. You are righteous. By default, the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become as the speed of your righteousness is just how you just say it. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you. If it's a prayer from your heart, let me tell you how powerful it is. It's not how long your prayer is. Do you understand? Or how it has big, big dictionary words. Do you understand? Very deep words. Do you know what? It's just how it comes from your heart. The cry. How do you explain a prayer that Peter prayed? Peter was about to sink and he just said, Lord, help! And that moment, God was there. Jesus was there to hold him. Do you understand? That is not by your trying. It's a gift of God. Let me explain something to you about righteousness. This blessed me many years. I do this almost every time I have the opportunity to. Someone, please come, sir. Please. Please watch this very, very carefully. Please watch this. Who has BB? Touch. Touch. You are blessed, man. I'm telling you, this phone is anointed. Anyway, okay, no problem. God bless you. This is a BB. I don't have one. Amen? But I'm holding one. Praise God. This is a BlackBerry. Do you understand? And let's take for instance, MD here wants to, maybe he needed to do something with this phone. And on the process of holding the phone and using, it got spoiled. Are you following? It got spoiled. The people outside, please can you hear and see? Amen. Are you with us? Hallelujah. And something happened to this phone. Do you understand? And you know it's quite expensive. Amen. Then he looks at Selena. He wants to give her back. And the moment is spoiled. And sir, please just give her back the phone. Please follow carefully. Let me help you see what righteousness is like. And he just apologized to you and said, I'm sorry, I spoiled this phone. Something happened to it. It's not working well. And you know, imagine Selena is so rich that her father owns a BB company. Do you understand? Her father owns a BB company. And you know what? She just looks at him and said, it's all right, forget about it. Are you following? She's forgiving him. She said so. Do you understand? If MD believes her, what will he do? If he needs a phone tomorrow, what will he do? But if he doesn't believe her, he needs a phone, a BB. What will he do? He'll be afraid to ask. Let me tell you the truth. Many people do not realize that Jesus has forgiven them for that sin. The day they asked Jesus to be Lord of their life, and they knelt down and they said, Dear Lord, please forgive me. He forgave them of all their sins and made them righteous. The Bible saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, it said, He who knew no sin became sin, that we may be what? We may be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you know what? So many people go to God and they remember that. They are still conscious of that, so they can't ask God for anything. This is how many Christians are. So every time they kneel before God, they just think, God is angry with me. I can't lift up my eyes to Him. And they are scared, so they go away from God's presence. They can come to church and people are worshiping and they worship, but you know what? Their hearts are not free because they still feel God is angry with them. So sometimes they come and God help you in a church that the pastor just insulted his wife and he just came to the pulpit and he holds the microphone. We are all sinners! Let's ask God for forgiveness! Then you kneel down and you say, Dear Lord, I'm sorry. I know the sin you committed 10 years ago, the rice you stole, the meat you stole in the pot, or the shirt you carried, I know you remember and say, Help! God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I know. So it's like this. It's like MD going to Selena and saying, Selena, please, I'm sorry for your phone that I spoiled. Then tomorrow he comes again. Selena, I'm sorry for your phone. The next one, he comes again. Selena, I'm so sorry for the phone. How will she feel? Sir, please, you can see. This is what a lot of people do to God. And you know what? We call it humility, but it's called false humility. You know why? You do not believe in what Jesus has done. He said he's done it. He made you the righteousness of God. Not your righteousness. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he gives you as a gift. He's saying it's a gift. You didn't work for it. If you work for it, they'll give you as a wage. It's a reward. Do you understand? But it's a gift. A gift. You don't do anything. He did it. And you know what? He said, come. And he gave you. It's so sad, but many times, many pastors have made people ask God over and over. So it's a circle. So you know what? Instead of the path of the just becoming brighter and brighter, they are still in the same spot, asking for that same thing. The sin of 10 years ago, they are still asking, so they are not moving forward. And tonight, I want you to know that if you've asked God truly, you've asked God to be Lord of your life, you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, see, your sins are forgiven. You may say, sir, you don't know what I did. I tell you a story. Rahab was a prostitute. She was such a prostitute. Now, you know what? She was found in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. They named her Rahab. You may say, you don't still understand what I did. I aborted babies. I want you to know that the Bible says, whosoever is in Christ, hey, yeah, is a new. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Do you understand? That you may say, sir, I partook in some robbery. Ask Oga Paul. He killed and they even dropped the clothes that they killed Stephen in front of him. And he looked and said, kill him. But you know what? The guy understood, and some of the main core revelations of righteousness was revealed by this personality called Paul. And he said, I have been crucified with Christ. Precious saints, if you gave your life to Jesus Christ, for some of you that have not given your life to Jesus Christ, we trust God that tonight, after the meeting, you stop carrying those bags. You've been carrying those bags. Jesus said, drop them. Are you following? That tonight, all the things you did in your past, He's forgiving you. He's forgiving you. You asked Him, dear Lord, forgive me. That voice you hear when you kneel down to pray is the voice of Satan. Satan uses three weapons mostly. He uses it beyond that anyway. But he uses guilt, condemnation, fear. So he makes you think God is still angry and God is still frowning at you. But I tell you the truth. I bring you good news tonight. I say he's forgiving you. He has. How do I know this? The word of God tells us that. The word of God tells us that. 1 John 2. 1 John 2 verse 1. Quickly help us read. Quickly, let's see how we can make progress. 1 John. My little children.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate.
Did you notice? He said, if any man. He didn't say you must always. Hiya. He said, if any man. So you know what? God is not saying you must always find yourself doing it. This is why God expects that you grow beyond some things. Do you understand? So he says, if anyone sins.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Hi. There's a scripture I'll show us later in Romans. I'm tempted to run there now, but there's an advocate. If God be for us, who can be against us? So be careful the way you point your fingers at people and say these people. Because you know what? Their present location is in heaven. The Bible says, for we are what? We are seated with Christ where? In heavenly places. You may be sitting here, but let me tell you the truth. In your mind, you realize that in the spirit, you're operating from heaven. You are seated in heaven. The Bible tells us clearly that. These are some of the truths that need to be grinded into people. Do you understand? That we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power. Praise God. One of the key things The seated position gives us access to, again, is faith and boldness towards God. Quickly, Hebrews 4:14 to 16. Please just help him with a mic, if you can help him with a mic too. Yes, just help him. Yes, just please help me, Rita. Hebrews 4. 4:14 to 16. Quickly, sir. It says, Seeing then
that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God.
My God, you know why? Because, you know, he's parted the way. He's the high priest. The high priest was, his responsibility was to go and atone for people. Do you understand? So, this high priest is not operating from the earth. He had passed into heaven already. Okay?
Let us hold fast.
Hold fast.
Our profession.
Our profession.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Yeah.
But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
My Jesus.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the
throne. How did he say we should come? Boldly. With confidence. I wish Amplified. What is Amplified saying about it? He said, see, come boldly. Do you understand? Boldly. Boldly, you know why? Because Jesus has parted away. God does not have people that stand as second God. Then they have, you know, grandfathers, then grandsons to God. Do you understand? There's nobody. No man of God. I don't stand in the way. No man of God stands in the way. Every man that tries to stand is a charlatan. That tries to stand in the way. He's trying to rub shoulders with God. No man stands in the way. You know why? Jesus has parted the way. You know why? To come and see your Father. Nobody stops a prince from going to see the King. So he has access. He just walks straight to the Father. Hallelujah. Boldness. So God has given us righteousness. This is why the blood of Jesus and the cloak of righteousness. Righteousness is like a cloak. That is one when you are conscious of it. And you step before God. You know why? Because God sees you as he sees Jesus. So he looks at you and he just sees the way he sees Jesus. This is not where I want us to stop. So I want us to move. One of the profound things our seated position gets to reveal to us. I'm rushing through some of these things because I want us to get to somewhere before we stop tonight. Relationship and love. Please. Let me say something here that will shock you. God told me some years ago, he said he does not love Jesus Christ more than me. Don't remove your shoes and stone me. Wait. Please, wait. The Bible says God is just. Do you understand? He's not partial. How can you accuse God and say God loves Reuben more than he loves Aaron? Is God like that? You know why? He's called love. Agape is unconditional. Sweetheart, God loves you the same way he loves Jesus. I'll show you from scripture. John 15, verse 9. Help me read so that you won't say it's my Bible. My dear, he loves you. John 15, verse 9. Help us read quickly.
As the Father hath loved
me. Yeah, as the Father hath.
As the Father hath loved me.
Okay.
So have I loved you.
My God.
Continue.
The same quality of love. Jesus is saying, as the Father had loved me, so love I you. Are you following? My dear, I want you to talk to yourself and tell yourself that the Father loves me the same way he loves Jesus. Run to 17 verse 26. Chapter 17 verse 26.
And I have declared unto them.
Hey, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus began to speak. He was praying to God and he said, I have declared unto them.
Thy name.
Thy name.
And will declare it.
And I will declare it.
That the love wherewith thou hast loved me.
Please. Please take note of this statement. He said, the love wherewith thou had loved me
may be in them.
May be. What kind of love? The same love may be in them. Okay?
And I in them.
Oh my Jesus. And I in them. Listen to me. If you understand this, please, I beg you. See, as you are listening, some of you may need to pray. See, let this thing rest in you. This is the basis of standing before God. You know God loves you. Are you following? You know God. In Romans 5, I think 5-6, the Bible says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The same quality of love. God is not an impartial God. He does not love me more. He does not love Bishop Stan more. He does not love Pastor Williams more. Then love me differently. The only difference is this. Some people have been able to realize the love of God. So they understand that God loves them. So they move and they understand that, see, whether God likes it or not, He loves them. Yeah. Jesus understands that. He understands that the Father loves Him. Are you following? He understands that the Father loves Him. Sweetheart, you are not alone. My brother, you are not alone. He loves you the same way He loves Jesus. You know why? It's His nature. Just in case there are a few people that say, no, God loves some people. Wait. Are you trying to say God is impartial? He gives this one. If human beings are like that, God is more perfect. You know why? He's not like humans. He does not behave like humans. It's only humans that have filial, eros, and stooge. Different kinds of love. The kind of love that the mother will be sponsoring this child, will love this child and give this child 2 meat and give this one. You find that in human beings. God is not like that. No. The Father is not like that. The Father loves us equally. Hallelujah. It's called agape. It's called agape. Quickly help me read verse 23. See something, but still verse 23 of chapter 17.
I in them. And thou in me.
That they may be made perfect in one.
And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
The Hausa man will say, Angama Magana. Do you understand? The last verse, please take it again.
I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in
that
one.
That they may be made perfect in one.
And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
Put your hands together for the Lord. He's a precious one, I'm telling you. He's such a precious one. I'm telling you. See, if you understand some of these things, these are some of the bedrock of the Christian faith. You're knowing that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're understanding that God loves you. These things give you access. Do you understand? They give you access. Because you're not afraid. You're not thinking, the way I grew up knowing God, let me be honest with you. I really thought God was one judge, one police officer with a baton, condo, and he's waiting for you to just try anything, don't hit your head. Honestly, I grew up like that, thinking like that. How many of us are witnesses to this? You grew up like that, Some of you are real new creation people. You just grew up knowing God is good. You just entered, strolled into the holies of holies, man. It wasn't like that for me. Every new year, I beg God and I write many resolutions. I beg God. Every night, I used to ask God to forgive me for my sins. You know the reason? So if I die, I won't go to hell. I'll beg God in night if I'm about to enter a car. Some people know. I'm about to travel. I'm thinking, I say, dear Lord, if accident happened, man. So I say, God, forgive me. Then sometimes I do a calculation. Sharp calculation, I was a mathematician. That as I'm entering the car, if the driver just did it, just Jesus, please forgive me. Aha. Uh-huh. So what I'm saying is making sense, Abby? But guess what? One glorious day, the third personality of the Trinity called the Spirit of God. My friend then, he's a pastor. And when he got born again, the guy began to pray in tongues for 18 hours. Pastor Dave. That guy just encountered God. And you know what? The guy walked up to him. He used to smoke Igbo then. And this guy said he was born again. I laughed. I said, oh, God. 2 days. 2 days. 3 days. 1 week. 2 weeks. This guy was a changed man. And one day he just looked at me and said, Gee, what is in this life? That was the only thing he said. And I went back home quiet. People thought something was wrong. Maybe I was hungry. I wasn't. I was thinking on that word. The Spirit of God grabbed that word. And the Spirit of God began to brood over that word and began to hammer that word in my heart. And you know what? I was under the presence of God. I didn't understand it was the presence of the Holy Spirit then. And I went to my room and I knelt down and I said, "Dear Lord Jesus," I said, "I've tried. Forgive me." And you know what? The moment I said that prayer, such a peace flooded my spirit, man. See, it's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I knew there and then I was going to heaven. I started praying. My prayer changed. I said, "God, I want to go to heaven now." Me, that was afraid of death. I was asking God, I wanted to die. I'm serious. You know why? Because then it was his cloak of righteousness he covered me with. And God imparted his love. See, let me tell you the truth. I walked on the street, suddenly I came out. I knew that a car could not hit me. I don't just know how. My mind, I didn't enter the road though. I just knew. Amen. I knew. And I'm telling you, some of you, that's what you've been struggling with. That's where you need to come to tonight. You need to come to realization that you've been trying. You are carrying the load. You are trying. You are moving. And it's heavy. It's heavy. It's heavy. He didn't say you should try. He just said he's done it for you. He's done it and he's giving you a gift. Why are you struggling? Why are you struggling? Hallelujah. And the person of the Spirit of God is imparted in the heart of believers. Now let me quickly show you a scripture. Ephesians 1:17. This is one of the things we'll be praying for tonight. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul began to pray for believers, Ephesians church, as they gave their life to Christ. He now said this. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's a spirit of revelation and a spirit of wisdom that God imparts to believers. Ask yourself, Daniel was 10 times better than the wise men of the East. Do you understand? He was 10 times better. It's called the Spirit of God, the activity of the Spirit of God. And he lives in the body of believers. This is one of the access of what his finished work is done. So he calls you to a position. He's finished and he sat down. Everything Jesus has died for, every blessing, there are blessings in the heavenly places. Do you follow? Prosperity, healing, and every of these things. And Jesus Christ sat down. You know what? He just said, "Come and share with me." Are we following? He just said, "Come and share with me." It gives us grace. Our seated position with Jesus pulls us into a relationship of grace. It just makes God to impart his grace. You find that in Ephesians 3:7, Romans 5:17. Because of time, you may not read that. There's a blessed hope that comes. You know what? Virtually every, there are many things, many religions around. But you know what? I've not seen a religion that has hope like our Christian faith. I'm telling you. This is why when I say a believer die, you know the truth? I mourn for the family. I feel sad. But guess what? I know where that person has gone to. A man I respect so much was sharing one time how God allowed him see. He was caught up and he saw a vision of a man in the hospital and the man was about to die. And suddenly he was watching in the hospital and the guy died. When the guy died, he left his body. And he saw angels. He saw Jesus Christ stood and was welcoming the guy. But the man's wife just realized he died. The doctor announced it. She began to cry. And you know what? The man was looking at Jesus. He said, "Please, how can they know? I want to comfort them." And you know, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will comfort them." But you know what? He said, "If only they had known that where he was much better because he was sick." So I'm encouraging some of you that lost loved ones. Don't feel bad and say those guys are gone. If they died in Christ, I tell you what, you will see them. Yeah, you will see them. That's the blessed hope of our faith. Yeah. This is what Jesus came to do so that we can have access to God. Praise God. There's victory. I love this part. I love this part. Who has the Message Bible? The Message Bible. Okay, just help me open the Message Bible. But if you have Matthew 28 verse 18. I want to show you something very powerful. This is for those that have been afraid of Satan. Satan has... You know what? Satan used to deal with me. In the night, they will just come. I don't know who did those they were, but those guys were tough. They will come and hold my neck. I want to shout Jesus, Jesus won't come out. I will try. Some of you laughing, you understand what we're talking about. And I'm serious. Tonight we'll release fire. The time will come for that. We'll release fire tonight. Let me tell you the truth. You'll find out that Satan is a last card. He's a bastard and a last card. God is the first card. Are you following? See, Satan is powerless. Some of you that have been affected, you say, oh boy, no, go find the devil trouble. Don't. Satan is powerless. What did I say? Yeah. I used to be afraid of him. God will come, they will press me. I'll wake up, my body will. Some people are here, and some of you had injuries in time past. You wake up and you see like they scratch you. Do you understand? I'll show you something tonight so that you shine your eyes and tell them, look at my eyes. Do I look like your mate? Help me read that. Matthew first. Matthew 28 verse 18. You read that message. Matthew 28 verse. Help me read Matthew 28 verse 18. Please, quickly. Please, please pay attention. Please, I beg you. Especially if Satan had tried to do one small thing. Please pay attention.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power.
Ah, yeah. Jesus, sir, echo that all.
All power.
Sorry. Mathematicians, if God has packed all, what is remaining? He said, all power.
Is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
So all the powers in heaven and on the earth has been given to Jesus. So he now looked at us and you know what? What did he say?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations.
He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know what? Jesus has, he said something in Luke. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You know why? His fall was so fast. I like something Reinhard Bonnke said. He said, when Jesus crushed the head of the serpent, he scattered his brain. His brain is touched somewhere. His brain is touched. The brain is touched somewhere. I'm telling you. Then read that in the message for me. Colossians 2:15. Message. Please listen to what message. The message Bible wants to give us a message. Please. Fire answer. Colossians 2. Verse 15.
He stripped all the spiritual chiros.
Jesus. He stripped all the what?
Spiritual tyrants.
Kaya.
In the universe.
Kaya.
Of their sham authority.
My Jesus. Sham authority. Fake authority. Continue, sir.
Of their sham authority at the cross. And marched them naked.
Hey, yeah. Jesus. Jesus said, oh God, all of you arrange yourself. And Jesus stripped them. He stripped them of their sham authority. And Jesus didn't just leave them like that. You know why? In King James, he said, he spoiled principalities. You know what a spoil is? When you go to war, they pack all the good they have. They enter their storehouse. Pack everything they have. Pack everything. Everything they have. So even if they go back, they won't have anything. They will starve to death. So Jesus said, the Bible said Jesus stripped them of their authority, their sham authority, because it wasn't their own. They were posing with our authority. So when Jesus stripped them of that one, you know what he now did? He didn't stop there. Jesus, I like him. And I love him. Then you know what? He stripped them. You know, it's bad. It's enough to collect a man's gun. Everything. He's a soldier. You collect his gun and everything. Jesus didn't stop there. He said, just in case. You people will be tempted to want to even use your clothes to form something. He stripped them nude and he said, line up! And they began to move. Praise God. And he stripped them. Are you understanding? He stripped them. See? So when the devil comes, precious saints of God, when he comes, he's actually nude. A lot of people don't know. He's naked. He's naked. Please, if the Bible didn't tell us, Jesus now gave them back. Are you understanding? Jesus stripped them and because in the first place, hallelujah. Because in the first place it's not their own. So as Jesus gathered and said, oh God, you don't even deserve anything. Just pass. And he left. You know what? This why. So what Satan does, this is why he moves like a roaring lion. Moves. Know the idea? So some believers hear the voice and they're like, I'm scared. No, precious saints. He's nude. He has no authority. He's gone. Zilch. We call it zilch. Nothing. 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 Are you following what I'm saying? So, my dear, you see that voice, that witch that looked. I had an encounter one time when we were preparing for one of the outreaches at home. And one wizard stood in a vision. The guy stood. I said, you will die. I looked at him. I said, I will not die. I will live to declare the good works of the Lord. And I just saw myself suddenly in the spirit. I don't know how the Holy Ghost took me. I began to fly. We went to that town and man, we did a good job. Because those that were worshipping idols, God converted many of them. One of the women looked at his name. Said, Bunki Nama Wawani. He said, good. You know what that means? It means this idol is even foolish. They were worshipping real idols. Real idols, wooden idols in that village. You know why? Jesus stripped them. Stripped them. All of them and filed them. And I'm telling you tonight, we'll walk them out of our homes, out of our families. Do you understand? Tonight we'll walk them out of our families. This is the blessedness of Jesus. I'm telling you. You must understand this. Because not many of the nights when I understand with some of you that have been oppressed by devils. I've been oppressed. A lady was talking to me. I don't know even if she's here tonight. But I'm going to pray and the power of God is going to touch people like that and break shackles from their lives. I tell you tonight. And for a whole month, they were squeezing hand, stressing her life. That's how wicked the devil can be. Never play with Satan. He's not to be played with. You shout at him. And up for a whole month, and they were pastured, stressing her night. She told me she would watch film late into the night just because of. Apostle used to share with us then, he would sleep by the edge of the bed. So when they stress him, he roll down. Demons can be so terrible then. But you know what? One day, a message entered him like this. And he just had. He came back from that meeting and he said, let me see the devil that will come again. Ah, they ran. You know why? They are scared. Let me tell you, let me show you something quickly. God told me a long time, he said, Satan is more afraid of you than you are of him. It's just that many believers don't realize it. You know why? Many are not sure. This is what I've been talking about. This is why I told you that some believers are there, but you don't know how powerful you are in the spirit. For the Bible says the light shines in darkness. And the darkness does not comprehend. No matter how dark this place is, you bring a small candle and put here. The darkness around here will dispel. You don't need to pray. It will go. You got light. Ye are the light of the world. This is what Jesus has called you into. I'm telling you. Back then in University of Justin, we were praying. One of the guys got born. He just got born again some days. And he began to pray in tongues. And he went home. He began to pray in the spirit. And suddenly one woman in the compound said, you are disturbing us. He was just praying in his room. He came back. He told us then. Then my pastor, Pastor P, said, fire more prayers. He went back. I tell you, the woman began to be sick. Sick, sick. She refused to give her life to Christ and she left. She checked out. Amen. We don't kill people. We don't tell people to die. It's just that some people don't, if they decide not to give way. Do you understand? God is trying to pass. They are saying God will block you. God will push them off. Are you understand what I'm saying? As they see in the spirit, they know. Many of these people know. Are you understanding? Demons recognize. It's why they looked at Paul. They looked at the sons of Shiva. They saw Paul. They said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know about. He said, but who are you? Because those guys didn't have light, but you have light. Let's move. Let's make progress. Angels are dispatched to you. Your seated position. You're a king seated with Christ. You have access to the angels of God. But please, note of caution. You don't send angels and say, oh God, go and fetch water for me. You know, some Christians, they've gone to a point of laziness. You just say, angels, go and fetch water. They are not your boy. They are God's boy. But God just permits us as we pray. They hear the voice of the Spirit of God through our prayers. And they hear the word of God. Even Jesus looked and said, he can ask his Father for the angels. I've seen, I'm bringing a balance here so that I'm not saying you can't. The angels of God, the Bible says the angels of God encamp around them that fear him. Are you following? As you sleep, let me tell you the truth. Sweetheart, as you walked in here, an angel walked in here with you. That's not word of knowledge. I'm just saying every one of you, please, that's not word of knowledge. I'm telling you, how do I know this? Let's see a scripture. Hebrews 1:14. Please, are you getting blessed tonight? Hebrews 1:14. Oh, pararada boku shidada baba. Please read, sir.
Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister. For them who shall be heirs of salvation.
My God, every heir of salvation here, you have an angel. And you know what? Satan pulled down 1/3 of the angels that chose to walk with him. But guess what? The Bible says 2/3 remain with God. For every one demon, there are 2 angels. Everyone, do the math. 1/3, 2/3. I'm also very, very good in math, but I know that for every one devil, there's what? 2 angels. There are more angels of God. There are more angels of God. I'm telling you. So as you go home, as you walk, I began to be conscious of the angels of God. I began to be conscious that there are angels walking with me. Be conscious of that. And let me encourage you, ladies, guys, if you have children, don't tell them, oh, juju will catch you. And a lot of people did that. They did that to me. I was urinating on the bed. And they pointed one drawing for me. They said, if you piss again, this thing will come and catch you. That night it ended. But, you know, praise God. Please listen to me, precious saints. God did not design that we make our children grow like that. As good as that is. Let me tell you the truth. You see that small girl? If she's trained in a way from this age that, you know, angels walk with her even in the dark. As she goes to sleep in the night, the angels of God are with her. Do you know what that means? She'll be so alive and so conscious of the angels of God. I know the devil will not make sense to her. But we've made children grow up saying, devils, Satan, juju, we catch her. You know what? 2 horns. And sometimes we expose them to movies. Then they see, they think Satan is powerful. So they grow up. I ask a small child. He's never seen a devil, but ask him to describe Satan. He has 2 hair, 2 horns. How did he know? Are you seeing how we've programmed the minds of children? The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he grows, he will not. What way do you plan to train your child? I'm telling you a challenge. I've told my madam, we're not going to tell our children. We're not going to tell them, oh, juju, there's no juju. We make them conscious of the Spirit of God. Make them conscious of God. Do you follow? Let me tell you, if you train your children like that, they will be so powerful and so dangerous. A minister was sharing one time in Japan. His little baby said, Daddy, as you were praying, I saw Jesus stood by you. And the children see angels. You know why? They grow up in an atmosphere like that. If they are trained us to be like that, let me tell you, your eye now, you'll be moving angels. Do you get? But they didn't train us like that. My father doesn't even know what angel. He just says in the Bible. Do you get what I'm saying? But I encourage you, please. See, this is the benefit of the seated position. That the angels of God are there to minister to you. You walk around with angels. Some of us are not conscious of it. This is the bedrock of what we are trying to say tonight. That you be conscious of your righteousness. You be conscious of the love God has for you. You be conscious of the power of God at work in you. You be conscious of the angels of God around you. Are you following? You be conscious of the fact that Satan has been defeated. See, it must enter you. Pray them into you. When I was oppressed and many things, you know what? I got tired. I said, it's not about laying hands, oil poured on my head. I said, God, if your word is true. And sometimes something like will happen like that. I'll pick Ephesians 2. I'll pick verse verse 6 now. That's where it said. I said, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. I said, Satan, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I kept confessing the word. And as I was hearing it, faith comes by hearing. I was speaking the word. I was hearing it. Suddenly, light hit my spirit. And I knew like never before. We've gone to Giwa, Kasa, devil, devil. We don't come back and say, Jesus, please, blood of Jesus, cover ourselves, cover our car. You know why? We are seated with him in heavenly places. You are seated. Say, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are so blessed beyond the curse. We are blessed beyond the curse. You know why? The person that pronounced your blessing pronounced it from heaven. Are you following? Your blessings were pronounced from heaven. Let me just quickly run so that we can round up. Now, I want you to know something. You as a Christian, there's something God has designed you to do. Two things. Now, I want to bring a balance. You see, understanding our works and our righteousness. Now, I want to quickly talk sharply about our work, our conversation, our behavior, and our conduct. It's twofold. I will not dwell so much on our power dimension, manifesting the power and all that. You know why? We'll do that subsequently. But you know what I want to dwell on? I want to talk on something very powerful, because you know what? A good portion of the church has lacked in this area. I want to show you something. Ephesians 3:10. Please see this scripture. Ephesians 3:10.
To the intent
that now
the principalities,
the powers. See what God does. Hey, yeah. Andy sang a song, Showcase. That, sir, please come. That God, to the intent that what?
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Angels and principalities look at your life, the church, and God reveals his wisdom. They learn the wisdom of God through our lives. To the intent. Principalities, through the manifold, you know, the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be learned through us. Hallelujah. But you know what? The power of God is revealed in our life. But something very quick. Let me touch on this, then we pray. The world benefits from our character. The world. Let me tell you the truth. As we say all this, you know what? If the only thing your roommates know you as a Christian for is when you hold, when you stay in the corner, Makaba Shakabaye, then you know what? Your Christianity is powerful, but you know what? It's one directional. You must balance it with what? Character. Billy Graham said something very powerful. He said, if you lose wealth, you've lost nothing. If you lose health, you've lost something. If you lose character, you've lost everything. Thank you, sir. Do you understand? Ephesians 3:1 talks of, let me just quickly show you something. He said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of time, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I want to quickly go to verse chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk what? Worthy of your vocation, wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. There are 8 times the word walk. The word walk, that's to walk, not work. Walk is written in Ephesians 8 times. I hope you know 8 times. 8 is the number of what? New beginning. So God tells you that after your seated position, after you've sat down, you've understood what Jesus has done for you, the revelation of your oneness with Christ, righteousness, the power of God, everything. You know what? As you stand up, if you sit and remain like that, you have constipation. You have obesity. Do you understand? So you need to learn to walk. The walk dimension is, as you function on earth, you reveal the heavenlies here on earth through power. But I will dwell a little bit more on character, just briefly. That people see you, and you know what? They see Jesus. Are you following? That, so that you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? To reveal that right life of righteousness. It has come to you by grace. It's a gift. But you know what? God wants it to be translated beyond letters to become life. Are you following? To become life in you. Colossians 3. Quickly help me read. Just quickly because of time. I want to just get to tie the knot here. Just get to see how I can tie the knot sharply. Okay? Colossians 3, 1 to 10. Quickly, sir. Thank
if
you.
If ye then be risen with Christ.
If ye then be risen with Christ.
Seek those things which are above.
Seek those things which are above.
Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Okay.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid
My
with Christ.
Jesus. Your life. God. So you're a dead man. Are you for? See, he said you are. That old man is dead. Continue, sir.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear.
Hey! Your life is, your real life is not here. Are you not, you're not following. We said your real life is not here. He said, where who?
Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Thank you, sir. Let me please bring a balance here. I know some of you have read, what's the name of this book? Tim LaHaye's book. Beautiful. Okay. Blessed be the name of God. Powerful book. He's a believer. He loves God. Do you understand? And now, there's nothing wrong with the book. It's just, he wrote that book with a revelation. And some people have read that revelation to give an excuse for their flesh. So they say, me, I'm like this, oh, this is how we are in our family. Watchman Nee said something. He said some people fainted on the cross. They didn't die. They were on the cross. But the Bible says we are dead. Some people didn't die. So if wind blew them, they say, they wake up. So, and you touch them now, you touch them. We are seeing everybody so fine, holy. Bible, we say we pray in tongues now, we pray in tongues. But when you get to the room, how does your roommate see you? It's a serious thing tonight. I'm telling you. I spoke to you about your seated dimension. But you know what? On earth, how do they see your room? How do your roommates see you? Because you know what? I've spoken to some few people on campus. And some of them have told me that, ha! Koinonia, that sister goes to Koinonia, that brother goes to Koinonia, that guy's not. Do you know what? I'm not, this is not to condemn. Do you understand? Please, do you understand what I'm saying? But this is to bring us to bear that, look, your life speaks volumes. Your life speaks volumes. But I challenge you tonight. This is the purpose of it. Let your character release the fragrance of Christ. Are you following? That I challenge you tonight that don't your Christian life, let it not just be that the only thing your roommates know you for is that you shout more in tongues and disturb them in the room. But you know what? Christian conduct. So some, as the wind blows them, this fan just tongues blows. They wake up and they say, who is that that touched my pot? I warn you. See, I'll drop this percentage. I'll deal with you. Then I'll come back. Another person said, one brother, they tried him. He said, this Bible did not gum in my hand. I'll drop this Bible. After I deal with you, I'll carry it back. Praise God. I hope some of us have not spoken like that. You say, see, leave that thing aside. Leave the Christianity aside. Leave that thing aside. Do you understand? It's a serious thing because you know what? We are kings seated with him. But on earth, God, yes, we are praying. God is seeing us pray for the sick. You can pray for the sick and get them healed and many things. But God sees another aspect of your life and sees another aspect of my life. It's a message for all of us. Don't think I'm excluding myself from this message. But God looks at our life and sees that, you know what? We're able to reveal Christ. Are you following? That people can look at you beyond here. And as you walk to the room, your roommate is saying, your husband is saying, your wife is saying, just in case you are married, that, but they see your life. Speaks volumes. I can never forget a guy I met in junior form, Josiah Odi, till today. I don't know where he is right now. Josiah revealed a Christian character to me I was not born again in junior form. I was not born again. But Josiah Odi, if they had asked me who looked like Jesus Christ, let me tell you, till the knowledge I have now, Josiah resembled what a Christian truly was. I'm telling you the truth. People will tease him, insult him. Josiah, seniors will flog him and tell him that, where are you going to? He won't lie. I say, what kind of foolish boy is this? But you know the truth? Josiah was able to reveal, let me tell you the truth. I've met few people in this life, few, that have displayed such a life till years now. Yes, but you know what? Till today, Josiah signed the signature in my life. I can't forget. I'm telling you. What will people remember you for? They remember Tabitha for her good works. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that men may see what your good works. What will you be remembered? If you travel home for 1 month, what will they do? I hope your roommates will not cook rice and say, hey, thank God, oh. Are you understanding? It's an embarrassment. As you are laughing, please, I want you to know that, see, it's not the best of God. Haba. That your roommates are celebrating that you went home. They are not mourning that, God, this girl, we are missing her. I wish she was here. She would have comforted me. She would have loved me. She would have spoken to me. But you know what? Beyond the power, beyond tongues. Do you understand? The purpose of tongues and the word is this. Is to make Christ conform more in us. Is to make us represent God on earth. That angels will look. That what kind of love is this? Truly, the way God displayed love and revealed it to his children. They are living that life of love. So whether you heal the sick and do everything, the character of God is dispelled over your life. I'll read 3 scriptures, then we'll pray. The Bible calls us the salt of the earth. The salt is to preserve and to give taste. We must give taste and preserve this system. Preservation talks of you maintaining the system and not making it work properly. That's the power dimension of our Christian work. Do you understand? But you know what? You need to give it taste. The earth needs to have taste from your life. There's a dimension of sonship many Christians are not ready to flow in. It's called when a son becomes a servant. You know the best we know? We sit and we say, God, we call for this, we call for that, we call for this. But you know what? The Bible said how Jesus Christ, even though he's a son, you know what he did? He stripped himself of that glory and stepped into a dimension of servanthood. Rise to your feet. Ombra finta kabo sheketele brondo bokota la bababa. The character of God is what transforms us. But guess what? It's fused in his word. Fused in your prayer life. As you pray, channel the prayer in tongues too. As you pray for power, pray also that, God, you make me a better person. Do you follow? Tonight, I'll give us scriptures as we pray. Just spend some few times to pray. Oh, Jesus. Tonight, I really pray that tonight you ask God that God will change your life. I'm telling you. Ranye mama shida baladana mama no so baladana yena mana. Hey, inana mashene mana yana. O pali kapong tu palate kabalagada bashika dada bababa. Tonight, God wants to reconfigure some people's character. That's the first thing. I read a scripture for you, Psalms 24. This was Jesus. Saying, yeah, you know what? It speaks forth for every believer because, you know, it reveals something powerful about us. The Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who will stand in his holy place? Who will stand in his holy place? He said, he that hath clean hands, character. He didn't say he that can pray more in other tongues more than everybody. Yes, pray in tongues tonight, but guess what? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He said, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thee, oh Jacob. There's a generation that seeks God. Tonight I give us an opportunity to pray. And you know, just in case your grandmother, somebody, your sister had offended you, and you've carried unforgiveness and anger, I will not forgive that person. Tonight you drop that thing. While kings were seated with him, he doesn't sit with those things in heaven. Those things are, Satan is just trying to lie and hang those things in our life. Tonight we'll drop many things, okay? Go ahead and pray. Drop those things. Drop them. Everything. As you ascend on the hill, it's a hill. Weight will make it heavy. God will begin to touch some people's hearts. The Lord, when you feel it, it will be your heart. God will be touching the heart. The Lord will be walking on your heart. Let everything burn that is not of God, every way, and everything that doesn't easily present God's people. Lord, we drop it down, we lay it down. It's almost legitimate for you to be angry with that person. But you know what? Drop it tonight. God had a reason to be angry with you too. He had a reason to hold it against you. But you know what? He forgave you. He forgave you. Some of you will feel like fire in your heart. That's the impress of the Spirit of God. You'll feel like the fire in your heart is the impress of the Spirit of God. He quickens everything and every drop goes. Oh, parati parashi kaba da 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 da. Rendo boko subaga da 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 da. Reasons I won't call you out. There's a particular lady, actually the one that offends you more is the first guy that really abused you. Forgive him. The first guy that abused you. I'm not calling you out. The first guy that abused you, forgive him. forgive him. Just let it go. Don't punish yourself, man. Just let it go. Let it go. You'll soar high like a bird. Just let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Father, we thank you. Just go ahead. Just let it go. All right. God communicates to me now. The Lord is Philippians 3:10. I'll tell you something, then we'll pray. God is going to be pulling some of you into close relationship with him right now. Philippians 3:10, quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 3:10. I thought Philippians left my Bible suddenly. Philippians 3:10. Paul prayed a prayer and he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. We're going to pray tonight. And there are quite a number of you. Some of you, what you feel is there's a cool warmth that will come into your spirit. Cool warmth. God is going to be drawing you to close fellowship with him. Thank you, blessed Spirit of God. All right, let's get to pray quickly.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, call 081-38-32-5463 or 080-33-50-8735 or 080-34-00-3936. You can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaParenting Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaKNI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Parenting Network International, producing the fullness of God's life on earth.